You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
What's the worst thing you could possibly hear while you're naked? And then we take a look at a terrifying story about a young boy who looks out of his bedroom window and sees a horrifying phantasm. But is this just a one-off ghost, or is it a hidden clue into the nature of life after death? Today on Dead Rabbit Radio. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Dead Rabbit Radio. I'm your host, Jason Carpenter. I'm having a great day. Hope you guys are having a great day too. This is the end of season 25 of Dead Rabbit Radio. I'm going to take 2 weeks off after this week, but we're going to have a slam bang week for you, hopefully. Hopefully these stories are good. I don't know. I think they're fun, but the recording process can uncover some weaknesses. But someone who's never weak, someone who's the strongest of any person walking into Dead Rabbit Radio, command, everyone get on your feet and give it up for one of our legacy Patreon supporters, Amalia. Woohoo! Yeah, wee! Amalia is walking on in. Juggling babies, the heaviest of all humans. Amalia, you're going to be our captain, our pilot this episode. If you guys can't support the Patreon or the show financially through the merch store or PayPal donations, it's totally fine. It really, really is. I say it every episode because I mean it. It really is okay. Just help spread the word about Dead Rabbit Radio. That helps out so much. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell everyone you know. Dead Rabbit Radio is your favorite paranormal show. I'm seeing a lot, and I'm not knocking them. I'm not a huge fan of it either. A lot of paranormal websites and channels are going behind paywalls, and it seems to be accelerating, which kind of sucks because I think this information should be out there. I think the more that we can share it, I think it's important. It's fun to talk about, but I also think a lot of these topics are really important. A lot of these sites are hiding behind paywalls and not a fan. So I'm glad that Dead Rabbit Radio is free to all. But if you are a member of the Patreon, you do get access to the Discord and ad-free episodes. But the show itself is still free and will be free. That's something that I've always talked about. I don't like hiding stuff behind paywalls. Amalia, let's go ahead and get this party started. I'm going to toss you... What's her first story? I'm going to go ahead and toss you the keys to the Jason Jalopy. We're going to leave behind Dead Rabbit Radio command. Drive us all the way out to a house in the suburbs. Nice leisurely drive all the way out to the suburbs. We're about to take a look at a story of a young girl. She's coming home from school. I don't know how old she is, but because of the details of the story, we will assume she's a college student. We will assume she's in her early 20s, because if it's younger than that, if this is a high school student, or God forbid, even younger than that, the story's too disturbing. So in the absence of evidence, we'll say she's far past legal age. I also got to say a shout out, to The Last 747. 747's been sending me a bunch of stuff. Really, really appreciate it. Sent me over this story. So let's go ahead and take a look at this young woman, this college student we will call Becca. We don't have her exact name, but we'll go with that. Becca gets off of school. She comes home. She's like, man, that advanced physics class in college was so difficult today. I learned that, I learned about gravity, stuff that goes up must come down. That was day one. Who knows what physics I'm going to be taught tomorrow, but it's been a long day of learning about how stuff happens to other stuff. Becca goes, ugh, such a long day. I'm going to come home. It's time to change out of these school clothes. So she walks. I haven't heard of this before. She walks into her closet to change her clothes. I can understand if you want a little bit of privacy, but Becca's home alone. She goes in her closet to change her clothes, taking off her shirt or blouse, I don't know, taking off her pants. And now she's standing there in her undies. And she's looking for what? Oh, what should I wear? Should I wear this shirt? Should I wear these pants? Where'd all my pants go? Oh, man, I guess I gotta wear a skirt. She's standing there in the closet. She's nearly naked. And that's when she hears, meow. She's like, what? What in the world was that? She said it was not meow. It wasn't a cat's meow. It was clearly a man saying the word meow. But it was more than that. Again, the house is empty. If a guy just said hello, that would be creepy enough. It was a man saying the word meow. But he was saying it in a very suggestive way. She said it sounded like the way that a horny man might address somebody else if they were, saying the word meow. Meow. Maybe I'm not horny enough right now to convey the full feeling of what it sounds like, but she said it sounded like a horny man pretending to be a cat. Now, because she's home alone, and because that's just weird, and she looks around, she doesn't see a man in her closet, which would be 10 times, I don't know, would it be more terrifying? She hears, meow. I should have taken a Viagra before recording this episode. She runs out of the closet. It terrifies her. She runs out of the closet. She grabs a shirt first. She grabs a shirt, throws it on, runs out of the closet. Later, she's talking to her sister. We'll call her sister Amanda. Becca's like, oh, Amanda, you will not believe what happened to me the other day. It was the creepiest thing in the world. I was in my closet getting changed, and I heard a man say meow in a very suggestive way. Meow. And Amanda goes, you know what's scary is that I do believe that. I 100% believe you heard that, because the other day, when I was in my bedroom, I heard the same thing. I heard the sound of a man saying meow, but it was coming from underneath my bed. Meow. So these two girls, they start to think, okay, we gotta figure out what this is. We're not gonna be able to sleep tonight. I don't think I'll be able to sleep ever again if we don't figure out what this is. So they start problem solving. Becca said, it is not an intruder. There is not someone hiding out in our house. She said, in fact, our house is very well secured. They're big on the whole locking your doors when you come inside, not leaving a window open when you go out for 3 hours, whatever. She goes, very secure house. It's not an intruder. She goes, the area we live in has an incredibly low crime rate. The chances of someone breaking in just to steal something is super low. She goes, but even if it was an intruder, where I heard it from when I was in the closet, she goes, there is no attic in the house. She goes, there's nowhere to hide in the closet where you would have been able to say that. But I clearly heard it in the closet. My sister heard it underneath the bed. And she goes, the voice was so clear. I heard it. Just like I would hear another human talk. She goes, I don't even know if it's a ghost. She said it just sounded so much like a living, breathing man. But it can't be a man because there's no place for him to be in here. And it might be a ghost, but she goes, it just came across so clearly. She said that she's moved out of that house since this originally happened, which you probably moved out the next day. I think this was her family's home. She goes, I didn't move out of the house, but when I come back to visit, I'll get sleep paralysis. I don't get sleep paralysis at my place, but when I'm back in my family home, I get sleep paralysis. So she goes, I actually think that house may be haunted. But it's just, she goes, the voice was so clear. Now, astute longtime listeners to Dead Rabbit Radio may have already made this connection. The reason why the last 747 sent this story over to me, because back on episode 775, this is so bizarre, back in episode 775, we covered a story about a person who was hearing a man imitate a cat in their house. They said that they clearly heard the sound of a man going, meow. And they heard it several times. There was nothing about horniness. There was nothing about a sexualness to the meow. But we now have two different accounts of this that are not related. Like we say on the show, one time I always get this. I made up this saying and I need to write it on a whiteboard. Leave it in my house. One time is an experience. Two times is a coincidence. But three times is a phenomenon. This could be one of those weird stories that there's a lot of them out there. We've covered some stuff like that, like the black bedrooms. People will post saying, I had this crazy experience. I woke up and my room was pitch black and endless. I got out of bed and I was walking around. I could never find the light switch. I could never even find the wall. Some people look out their bedroom window and see the surrounding areas in their neighborhood are the same, the buildings and the trees, but it's pitch black. Like all the lights are shut off. Just looking down these dark streets. Each person who posted those stories thinks they're the only one who experienced that. We covered the story about the phantom hands chasing children. And a lot of people who post those stories go, I thought I was the only one who grew up in a house where these hands would chase after us. We'd be in the basement and these hands would run up the stairs or the hands would creep out from underneath our bed. These very individualized stories that actually point towards a...
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
New type of paranormal phenomenon, and this could be the same thing. There could be other people who hear this who don't know what it is. They don't automatically think it's a ghost. Assuming they survive their heart attack after hearing it, they may not think of going online and talking about it. So thank you, The Last 747. This is our second story here where we have the sound of someone imitating a cat, and we just don't know what's causing it. In that house, if I remember correctly, I didn't re-listen to that episode for this, but I took another look at the show notes. I believe that that house also, the other story we covered in 775, that one I think was also a haunted house. They had some paranormal phenomenon going on in that house, and then they heard a human man say the word meow. I'm going to throw this out there too. It's possible that it's a prank. It would be fairly easy to set up some sort of recording device or broadcasting device, like a walkie-talkie, or have just a phone on, and someone's in the other room playing a prank. If that's possible. We're not going to discount that. But still weird. Even if that was the case, even if their brother was like, oh, sis, I gotcha, that time when you were naked in your closet, that was me being horny. I mean, it was the man. It was the ghost man being horny. I mean, it was a prank. It's possible. It could also be a very bizarre paranormal phenomenon we're going to see more of. I did look into Becca's posting history. She posted this online underneath the name Aggressive Word 9087. Her posting history is fairly normal. I don't see a lot of other paranormal stuff. She did post in a Sugar Baby subreddit, which long listeners of Dead Rap Radio will remember my Sugar Baby episode. That's Sugar Babies and Sugar Daddies. Those are women who are looking for men with a lot of money, and sugar daddies are men with a lot of money who are looking for younger women that they can shower with gifts. And then my episode targeted the subculture of the salt daddies, which even to this day I find absolutely fascinating. I was looking through Becca's posting history. It's like, all right, I get to talk about salt daddies again. Salt daddies are men who pretend they have a ton of money. It's so funny because basically you have a symbiotic relationship between sugar babies and sugar daddies. No one's really taking advantage of either person. They know what they're getting into. A salt daddy is like the parasitic organism. It's the leech on the side of this family of fish swimming by. It's hilarious. But anyways, salt dad, I'll put that episode in the show notes. Amalia, let's go ahead and toss you the keys to the world famous Carpenter Copter. We are going to leave behind this woman and her closet. Why don't you fly us all the way out to a little boy's bedroom? We're headed all the way out to this little boy's bedroom. This story also, I was working on it when the last 747 shot me over this story, but I still want to give the shout out. We were kind of almost like doing it at the same time. 747 shot it on over here, so I still want to give the credit to that. I really love it when you guys send me stuff. We're all the way out at this little boy's bedroom. We're going to call this dude Saul. And Saul is a four-year-old boy, and he's sharing a bedroom with his brother. And they're on bunk beds. They're sleeping on bunk beds. And this particular night, Saul wakes up because he begins hearing the sound of metal clank against metal. Clang, 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 clang. He's hearing this noise. He's like, what in the world is that? He opens up his little four-year-old eyelids and he's looking around the bedroom. Clang, 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 clang. He doesn't see anything. Gets out of his bed and he walks over to the window and he peeks through the curtain. Clang, 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 clang. Standing between Saul's yard and the neighbor's yard, Saul sees the silhouette of a man wrapped in chains. Clang, 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 clang. This phantasm, this spirit, was standing in one spot but was shifting its weight from one foot to the next, and that was causing these chains to sway and click and clank against each other. Saul said that although he could see that there were chains wrapped around this spirit, this entity, he said, I couldn't see any other details about it. I could tell that it was a man. I could tell that it was wrapped in chains. He goes, but like facial features, I couldn't really see anything. He goes, I couldn't even tell if it was looking at me. It was just standing there swaying back and forth. Saul was terrified by this, obviously. It's super spooky to think about, let alone see. So he runs, he jumps back in bed, and he laid there, his entire body trembling, until eventually he fell asleep. It's a simple story. That's not it. We got a bunch of more stuff to talk about, but that's the story itself. It was posted online under the name Suitable Soil 5710. And I read this story, and I kind of probably have the same thought that a lot of people listening to this have, and the same thought that the last 747 has. I mean, first off, what was this individual's spirit? But then it pops in your head, why do ghosts traditionally have chains? It's such an interesting thing because this might be, and I could be wrong, we've done, you know, over 1,200 episodes at this point, this might actually be if not the first story we've talked about a ghost wrapped in chains. Although, that is a very stereotypical type of ghost. If you see, like, if you watch an old sitcom and someone's pretending to be a ghost, they'll have the white sheet over them, but a lot of times they'll have the chains, too, and they'll clank them together, and they're like, Arnold, take off that outfit. No one thinks you're a ghost. What you talking about, Willis? I'm a ghost. The clinking of the chains, you'd see in, like, Scooby-Doo and stuff like that. You'd see it in mainstream ghost accounts. So why? It's interesting because somebody has done the research into why this is a trope. Now, again, we don't see this nowadays in a lot of ghost lore. You'll see more just the plain white sheet. But for a long time, that was the typical thing, the ghost in chains. A long time ago, we did an episode. It's one of my favorites. I haven't listened to it in years. When I say it's one of my favorites, I mean the story that we talked about, not necessarily my presentation. But I'll put it in the show notes. It's why ghosts traditionally have white sheets, which is still very ingrained in pop culture. It's because in England, I think it started in England during the 1800s, when people died, the first thing they would do is wrap them in a white sheet and then tie it shut at the feet. And you would have these stacks of bodies. I think there was some sort of plague or some sort of, I don't know, maybe Jack the Ripper upping his body count. But that was very stereotypical that when you saw a white sheet and it was tied off at the ending, that means there was a dead body in there. Sometimes it might even be the sheets from their bed. Sometimes the coroner or the mortician may bring a sheet to wrap. It was a very traditional way. So if you wanted to pretend to be a ghost, you were walking around with a white sheet on you. Not with eye holes, although that would definitely make it safer. But that's where the idea of the ghost being nothing but a white sheet comes from. It's because for a period of time, that was how you stored dead bodies. I'll put that episode in the show notes. And when I was thinking about it, I read that story and I go, why do ghosts have chains? Because you don't see it that often, but you see it nowadays. But you see it often enough the farther you go back. Why is that the case? Well, let's take a little history lesson. I thought this was super fascinating. I got to give a lot of props to Jim Moon. He has a website called Hypnogoria, which is a website as well as Britain's longest running horror podcast. So give it a listen. I haven't had time to listen to it, but I definitely read this article. Great work, Jim Moon. He has the same thought. Why do we have ghosts with chains? Why is that a literary device? Because obviously when you say ghosts and chains nowadays, I think the first thing people think of is Jacob Marley from A Christmas Carol. And that's what I figure, right? I go, well, he was such a famous ghost. That might be one of the first ghost stories you hear as a kid is A Christmas Carol. And Jacob Marley has chains. The chains represent the sins that he made in life. The chains, what's the line? We forge the chains in life that we carry in death. So it's this physical representation of sin. The more sins you commit as you're living, the heavier your chains will be. So let's take a look. In A Christmas Carol, there is this line. There is this line and it says, quote, get your Christmas caps on, get your hot chocolate ready. We're going back to Christmas time. This is the first appearance of Jacob Marley in front of Scrooge. Spoiler alert. Quote, the bells ceased as they had begun together. They were succeeded by a clanking noise deep down below, as if some person were dragging a heavy chain over the casks in the wine merchant's cellar. Scrooge then remembered to have heard that ghosts in haunted houses were described as dragging chains. Okay, so he's not the reason, he may be the reason why we associate ghosts with chains. But this predated that. Charles Dickens was like, oh, if I want to have a ghost, then you better have chains. Because everybody knows ghosts have chains. Scrooge goes, well, of course this makes sense. Every ghost has chains on them. So I must be hearing a ghost, or it's a bad bit of cheese in my stomach. Christmas Carol was written in 1843, so at that point it was already a cliche. If Jacob Marley had shown up without chains, people would have been like, confused. Is it a ghost? He's not chained up. So where does this story start? Where does this stereotype of a ghost with chains start? Jim Moon did a fantastic job tracking the history of this. I'm going to jump to the end, because that is the most popular one, is A Christmas Carol. I'm going to go all the way back to where Jim Moon tracked this down. This is nuts. Let's go all the way back to ancient Greece. We're traveling all the way back to ancient Greece, somewhere around, really around the birth of Christ. We're talking 50 BC to 7 AD is when this story took place. Back then, there was this house in Athens. It was a nice house. It was a large house. Everybody liked it, but nobody could live there. The story had gone out all around town. Athenians, hear me, hear thee. He corrects himself, and they're like, oh, what? He goes, let it be declared in the city of Athens that that house over there is haunted by a spirit from beyond the grave. Everyone's like, what? They're all getting closer to the guy with the scroll. And he goes, yes, yes, that house over there, people have tried spending the night in it, but to no avail. For a phantom arises out of the soil each night, clanking his chains together and scaring anyone out of the house. Spartans have run in terror. Other Greek states, they did it too. A man from Troy came here. He had a hot date with him. They ran out of the house as well. Everyone's like, oh my God, this is so terrifying. The Minotaur himself fled from this house. Zeus, they're like, okay, we get it. The house is spooky. Zeus himself launched thunderbolts down the house. So no one wanted to stay in this house. It was a really nice house, but apparently there was a ghost that would show up in the middle of the night, clanking his chains together. And you would hear the chains before you saw him. It was this old man, this emaciated old man who looked like a bum, would walk through your house banging chains together. I mean, that might be the worst combination of things. If you could have a Venn diagram, an emaciated ghost, that's bad. A loud ghost, that's bad. But then also make him look like a bum. He's wearing the same pants. He has Ugg boots on. He's like, he's walking through the house. And he's super loud. You know, it's like all the worst things, right? So we would run out of the house. Well, there is a philosopher named Athenodorus. And he's hearing this story, and he's all, good job, town crier. But I'm Athenodorus. They named this town after me. And I philosoph right now that I can spend the night in that house. And everyone in the crowd's like, oh, they go, that's why we named the town Athens. Oh my God, that guy's super popular. And he goes, I'm not afraid of no ghosts. He writes that down in his list of philosophies. He's like, oh, that might pay off someday. I'm not afraid of no ghosts. Is an umbrella with a hole in it still an umbrella? He's like, oh, they'll be puzzling over that for years to come. Closes his little philosopher book. He goes, I'll spend the night in the house. I'm totally fine with this. In fact, I think it'd be dope to see a ghost. I don't know why everyone's freaking out. It's proof of life after death. So I'm going to go spend the night. And no one can stop me. And everyone's like, we're curious too. We're not trying to stop you. Go spend the night. So Athenodorus says, fine, okay. He's all sweating. He was all big braggart. He was like, I hope they stop me because that sounds spooky. And everyone's like, do it. He knows that he has to do this. If he fails, they're going to change the name of the town. They're like, oh, man. Our town's named after a lame-o. So he does. He actually rents the place out, and it was super cheap because they couldn't get anyone to live there. So he rents the place out, settles in for the night. sitting there, he's writing stuff down in his book. Your dad gives you a hammer. It has a handle, a head, and a nail. If you replace the nail, is it still your dad's hammer? And he's like, oh, this is some good stuff. This is some good stuff. Fantastic work, if I say so myself. Avner Doris is hanging out in this house when all of a sudden, cling, cling. Ka-clang, 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 ka-clang. He's hearing the sounds of chains rattling, metal striking metal. And he's like, yeah, man, this is what I'm here for. Because he's peeing his robe. He's like, oh, good thing I'm wearing a robe. No one will see that I'm peeing. I don't know if they wore underwear back then. It might just be a puddle at his feet. But by any account, he's just standing there. If he's peeing on the floor, he probably moved over a couple feet. He's like, ah, I'm just renting the place. I'm not worried about that. Clang, clang, clang. Chains are banging against each other. And then he sees it. This old, disheveled man with a long beard and sunken in eyes. He's been starved. He's dressed like a hobo. He's wandering through the house. Clang, ka-clang, ka-clang, ka-clang. The chains are so heavy on such a frail body. And yet he still walks through this home. Athenodorus is completely floored. I'm sure he expected to see something, but this is exactly what they were describing. He's watching this, but he doesn't run away. He watches this old goat, this old man, this old ghost, slowly walk through the house. And Athenodorus begins to follow him. Ka-clang, 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 ka-clang. And then the spirit leaves the house and walks in the backyard. I don't know if that'd be the exact term for it back then. It just opened up to a field that went on for miles, but whatever. This ghost begins walking through part of the property. He's outside now, and Athenodorus is watching him. And the ghost gets to a certain point in the field on this plot of land and then disappears. This house, for a long time, had had this reputation of being haunted. People had seen this thing a lot. You'd rent the house. You may or may not believe in the ghost, but if you rent the house, you're going to believe that first night when that ghost comes walking by, you run out. Then you get new people. They're there. Maybe you don't even tell them there's a ghost. Maybe you just try to get a security deposit or something. They see the ghost, they run out. This goes on for so long, but Athenodorus is the first person to ever not run away. Not only that, but he followed the ghost and watched the ghost journey. And when he reached a part of this property, he vanished. So the next day, Athenodorus says, this place is totally haunted. This place is super haunted. First off, you might want to get one of those rug cleaners. Do we have rugs? Do we have rugs in ancient Greece? Well, good thing they're not invented yet. Otherwise, you'd have to clean them. Right now, you just have to mop up that stone floor of urine. The ghost was peeing everywhere. It was crazy. He goes, also, though, I'm going to hire a team of diggers because I have a hunch. And so he gets some diggers and they go out to that spot where the ghost vanished and they begin digging. And they found the corpse of a man wrapped in irons. Chains around his ankles, chains around his wrists. Laying there underneath the property. The bones were, what is the term, disinterred? The bones are brought up out of the ground. They're giving a proper burial. And the ghost was never seen again. This is not the first ghost story. The first ghost story that we have recorded. Because what happened was there was a guy named Pliny the Younger who wrote about this story. He goes, dude, you won't believe. He's like writing letters to this dude named Sura. He's like, you won't believe what I've heard in the town of Athens. You know that guy they named the city after? He's also a ghost dude. Not that he's a ghost himself, but apparently he helps ghosts now or something like that. Playing, he's not really paying attention. He's like, what? He wrote about this in, it was like 70 AD. So it was a couple decades later, and they don't know. It could have been the next day, like all this stuff, the dating is like between this and 50 years. But Pliny wrote this stuff out, Pliny, whatever his name was, he wrote this stuff out, and it was considered not the first recorded ghost story, but one of the first recorded ghost stories. It was that early on that you got something like this written down, and it influenced ghost stories for generations to come. The idea of being wrapped in irons. Just that little seed gets put there and it travels around. And obviously everyone in Athens was talking about it. And so it would also be a cultural contamination out of there, because this was, as far as they're concerned, a verified haunting, a real ghost discovered by a third party. He had really no stake in this. Athenodorus, I mean, his name was at stake. But other than that, you know, he wasn't the owner of the house. He wasn't trying to turn it into a haunted house, the world's first pay-for haunted house. It's like, it's Scarefest, 70 AD. No, he's like, oh, there really is a ghost there. Let's dig up that hole. Wow, we found a dead body. It's that whole thing that we see even in modern ghost narratives, fiction and nonfiction, this idea of someone not having a proper burial causing the spirit to roam the earth. And that is, Jim Moon goes, this is probably where that story comes from. And you would see stories of ghosts in chains for centuries on, and then it just became a cliche. And now it's actually kind of fallen out of favor. You don't see it as much, but you still see it from time to time. Someone who's going to pretend to be a ghost on a movie, they'll generally also have them with chains. They'll have them rattling something, even though most ghosts don't do that. So, fascinating history lesson. I love finding stuff like this, but let's double back and we'll wrap the episode up like this. What's up with this? What's up with Saul's backyard? Is there a man buried back there? Like, if we take the connection, right? The ghost in chains leading someone to their grave and they found the man in irons. Why? Because seeing an actual ghost with chains is very rare nowadays. I think most of it's because we don't chain people up so much. And it's very interesting, too, that he heard the chains from that distance. The guy was far enough away that he couldn't see many details. He didn't even wake the brother up. But those chains were clanking enough that it woke Saul up. So right there shows some of the weird physics of the paranormal. Wasn't that he heard the sound of metal chains clanking 50 feet from the house? It was loud enough to wake him up. And when he went and checked, that's when he saw this guy in the backyard. He's swaying back and forth. Is there a body there? If we extrapolate what the first story says, the one with Athenodorus, is there a man buried under that property line between Saul's house and the neighbor's house, wrapped in chains? Because that's what we would have to surmise. That's what really, that'd be our first go-to. We're like, well, the first time we heard about this guy wrapped in chains, he was actually trying to direct people to where his body was to get a decent burial. Is there a body out there? Now, Saul posted this online, you know. He went underneath the name, I think I already said this, but Suitable Soil 5710. He was 4 years old when he experienced the story. He wasn't 4 years old when he posted it. I'm assuming there's been at least a decade or two since that story. But that property is still there, I'm assuming. And if there are new residents in their house, do they ever wake up in the middle of the night and see a man standing there in the shadows, swaying slowly back and forth, those chains rattling? Is it a body from decades, maybe even a century past, that doesn't have the power, doesn't have the ability to manifest each night like this ghost did in Athens, but maybe he can just appear once every so often once every couple months, he can manifest enough energy to kind of stand over his own grave and move back and forth, hoping someone will notice him and someone will give him a decent burial. Is this a body from long ago? Or is this a body from the past decade or two? Like a murder victim. Someone who's died very recently, and Saul woke up in the middle of the night and looked out the window and saw this person swaying back and forth. They were killed. Their killer was never taken to justice. They were buried in this plot of land. Their remains have not been found. And then you think, we'll just wrap it up like this, because this is just kind of spooky way to end this episode. I imagine, you know, Saul, obviously, he's still thinking about this. He's posting about this, you know, like I said, a decade or two later. It would be horrifying if, let's say, his parents still owned that house. He moved out. He moved out at the age of five. His parents are like, are you sure you want to emancipate yourself and try living alone in the big city? He's like, listen, I'm positive. I'm not going to go into the details, but it's very, very spooky. Very spooky house. Let's say he comes back home and he's visiting and he goes, you know what? For fun, I'm going to sleep in the old bunk bed. I'm going to wear my old Power Ranger pajamas. They're all super tight on him. They're cutting off circulation to his knees and to his elbows. But he's like, Red Ranger, my favorite. And he hops in the bunk bed and he goes, just like it was when I was a little kid. And then he wakes up in the middle of the night and he hears a clang, clang, clang. Clang, clang. He was afraid, but he was also kind of hoping this would happen again. Because he had experienced many nights before and after where he'd never seen that chain-bound man again. But, you know, as he gets older, he has interest in paranormal. He thinks, wow, what if I look out this window and I see him again? That's proof of the paranormal. And he gets up. He gets up out of bed and he pulls back the curtain. And he sees two silhouettes standing there, wrapped in chains, swaying back and forth. A couple nights after that, Saul goes out with his friends in town, has a couple drinks at the local bar. Says, okay, guys, I'm going to be responsible. I'm not going to drink and drive. I'm going to walk home. And they're like, see you later, Saul. And Saul was never seen again. But sometimes, if you live in the house that he grew up in, and you wake up in the middle of the night, you can look out his bedroom window and see three silhouettes standing there, swaying from side to side, their chains eternally clanging against each other, lost in darkness, trapped in hell. Clang, 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 clang. I mean, that didn't... none of that happened. I just thought it sounded cool. DeadRabRadio@gmail.com is going to be our email address. You can also hit us up at facebook.com/DeadRabRadio. TikTok is at DeadRabRadio. DeadRabRadio is the daily paranormal, conspiracy, and true crime podcast. You don't have to listen to it every day. I'm glad you listened to it today. Have a great one, guys.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com.
Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.